Generous support for Coastal Windage comes from Cameron's Restaurant Pub and Inn, and now RV Park. Cameron's is the only true British pub on the coast side, featuring 19 beers on tap and more than 60 brands of bottles. Come for the food and stay for the fun. Happy hour specials Monday through Friday. Open mic night on Thursday and karaoke on Friday and Saturday. Cameron's Restaurant Pub in Half Moon Bay.
Broadcasting live from the KHMB studios in downtown Half Moon Bay, this is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, the coastside's own live call-in talk radio show. From Pescadero to Pacifica and beyond, this is the place for coastside issues, hot topics, and you. And now, the host of Coastal Windage, Mr. Ruben Truthmaker, and his co-host, Crystalyn.
All right, good morning, Coastsiders. Ruben here. Good morning, Crystalyn.
Good morning.
Okay, we got a big show today. We're pretty excited. U.S. Representative for California District 16, Sam Liccardo, will be here in studio live later on in the show. He's got the big motorcade, I think, coming. So, you know, we got to clear all of 92 and everything. So he will be in during the hour. We look forward to that. Friend of the show, Congressman Sam Liccardo. Okay, so be prepared for that. And let's just get right into it because it's a huge show and it goes fast. All right. So we've got Sam Liccardo. Then we've got selling our coastside soul. I mean, you love something so much that Jeopardy becomes you love it to death. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something we should consider here when we think about the things that make the coastside great. Okay, and then Tales of Joy for Dynamic Duo Dog Rescue. We've got an amazing nonprofit here on the coastside that does dog rescues. They're doing a fundraiser tomorrow at the Coastal Vine in Moss Beach. We'll talk about that. Okay, so there's some smiles and some tail wags for you on this Friday morning. Okay, let's go to air quality, and then because we've got more smiles and tail wags, because we're going to talk about the Night of Lights Parade.
Yay.
Okay, but let's get to the air quality report. You know that the scale is 0 to 50 is amazing, which is where we almost always are. 51 to 100, not so great, although still good, but not great. And then over 100, really irrelevant to us here on the coastside. Today in El Granada, 26, 76 in Half Moon Bay today. There were several sensors over 100. I think it's because it was cold last night. People are burning fires.
Yeah.
And so there are probably some wood fires going near the sensors, but there is at least two or three sensors over 100 in Half Moon Bay this morning. So, yep, exactly. Spare the air. There's a reason why wood fire is not great for the air quality. 82 in Redwood City, 31 in Santa Cruz, and today, our Easter egg, today in Washington, D.C., can't figure that one out, it's 42.
That might be the most obvious one
I
yet.
Mean, I don't know. 42 today, Washington, D.C. Okay. We've got our interview with Sam. What? Sam. Yeah, my buddy Sam, you know, when we hang out. Congressman Liccardo.
Although he's very approachable. I feel like he would be okay with that.
He would, just like Ray Mueller asked you to call him Ray.
Yeah.
It's hard because they've earned this. To me, they've earned the title, and it's a show of respect and appreciation of, you know, the job that they're doing. That said, when Sam or Ray tell you to ask you to do something, I'm gonna follow what they ask. Okay. Night of Lights Parade tonight. This
Yay!
Is, you know, right, coastside tradition. Starts at 6.
Yes, the parade will start commencing from the corner of Main and Filbert. So I just want to get that clear because some people were upset last year because they were at the corner of Main and Kelly. Mm. And when the parade didn't come by, you know, near 6 o'clock, because it does take about a half hour for it to get to the corner of Main
wow.
and Kelly. Well, 20 minutes to a half hour, depending on how fast people are marching. So just want to 6 o'clock, corner of Main and Filbert.
What is on the corner of Main and Filbert? Where is that? Is that by the IDES hall?
That's just past the IDES.
Going south? It's south of the IDES?
Uh-huh. Yes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It's that one kind of wild little corner that Parissima dives into Filbert, and there's the where the Fly on the Wall studio mm-hmm. used to be, mm-hmm. that little bluish building.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that's where the bus stop is. Is that the, I think that's where the bus stop.
Yeah, so that's where the everybody lines up. And then we have 43 again that are signed up, so excited about that. We just keep making the parade, or the community keeps making the parade more and more awesome. Really excited to see how everybody's dressed up there.
I mean, listen to the line, 43, right? Here's just a few, right? Boys and Girls Club of the Coastside, love them. Coastside Country, yes, hello.
So fun.
Right? We had Hillary and Carol in here a couple weeks ago. So that, I mean, right there, golden. Go for that. Just go to see that. Half Move A Robotics, again, friend of the show, Coastside Hope. MM Got a Dance, I don't know this group, but...
But they're in it every single year, which is so cool. So, you know, I inherited this parade, so thank you, Charisse and past Chamber Board members for putting this on. This is the 26th year. And so a lot of these groups have been doing it for I don't even know how long. I've been here 7 years, and they already had a standing tradition. So, you know, huge ups to Alifano and MM Got a Dance, and then, you know, Boys and Girls Club and all of those groups that have, like, this is probably their 10th plus year doing it, which is amazing.
The last one, yes. That's what makes it great is the continuity, but then also there's new groups that mm-hmm. come in, like Coastside Country, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly. A new addition that has just, you know, added greatness to this already great event. Half Moon Bay High School cheer team, just want to mention, they're having a fundraiser January 8th, I believe. They're having, like, a spaghetti feed. Go and check out, type into your browser, Half Moon Bay High School cheer. I mention that because my son was on the football team this year, so I went to a lot of football games that I hadn't gone to before. I know cheerleaders are a thing at football games, but I never really, like, cared. I never really cared. But this year, since we know a lot of kids that are on the cheer, and they're standing right in front of me trying to watch my son play football, they're awesome.
Yeah, great athletes.
They're really kudos to the coaches. And I want to say to the cheer captain, Sarah Lockhart, wow, really impressed with their organization and their abilities. And as I was saying to my Mrs. Truthmaker last night, they really add something to the enjoyment of the game.
Yeah, I think people underestimate how much of an athletic, you know, sport cheerleading is. I personally, like, I've never was a cheerleader, but I've watched a lot of documentaries about cheerleading because I think it's really fascinating. And these people are training as hard as the football players. Nope.
Yeah, the discipline, you know, the football's got to run these plays and everybody's got to work at the same time to make the
seeing the football players do a pyramid.
Right? Well, accidentally, maybe, but yes.
No, that's a dog pile.
Good point. Yeah, the discipline with which they do their activities, they're all in sync, and it's really tight. But then they stand there at attention, and that's one of the things that really impressed me. They stand there in formation at attention for the whole game. It's cold. You know, we're in the stands with blankets and stuff, and they're, you know, in their skirts or whatever they're wearing. It looks cold. But nobody is, like, you know, shivering. They're just standing. Really impressed. Really impressed. Also want to note, Cunha has a cheer team now.
Aww.
And they are also expertly coached, very skilled. They were at our basketball games last night at the Cunha gym and cheering for us, which was great. And after the game, they did, a tunnel with the cheerleader. And it was really fun. The players just had a great time running through. Thank you to the cheer squads and the coaches on that. Okay, so we've got the parade tonight. You and I are going to be announcing the parade, kind of like the Rose Parade where they have the talking heads. You know,
yeah, we will be on the corner of Main and Kelly. So if you want to hear which floats are and groups are coming down and a little bit of information about them, which is fun. We always ask them to let us know what's new and groovy with them so that we can announce it.
Wait, we ask them, they come by, we pull somebody out from...
No, sorry. We ask them ahead of time. So when they sign up for the parade, there's a little spot where they could give us information.
I have to do prep work for this?
No.
That wasn't in the contract.
No.
Just show up, you know, and just blather. That's exactly what the contract says.
Which is still the instruction, sir.
Okay.
No, I do all of the prep. It's okay. You prep for this show, and I do absolutely no prep whatsoever. So I'm reversing it today.
See, this is why it's a great team. Okay.
We know where our strengths lie.
Exactly. Okay. And that's tonight. Next Friday.
Yes.
Is Ugly Sweater Party and Contest.
Although, just before we move on from tonight, can I give a few more shout-outs?
Oh,
okay.
Please do.
So I want to give a huge shout-out to Seacrest School, who is doing the kids' tent area on Kelly Avenue. So after the parade, hang out with your kids. They're going to have all kinds of fun games and activities, and they really, really do a wonderful job. Like, blows me away. And then across the street on the other side of Kelly, on the MacDutra Park side, is going to be Make It Main Street, who is doing a wonderful market, and they also really do it up on that street and do a wonderful job. Not to mention that all of the streets, all of the shops on Main Street will be open late, and they're doing lots of little special things inside of their shops, so we're excited about that. And then we also have the Chambers doing a Winter Lounge Wine Garden. So that's going to be on the corner of Main and the 600 block in the brand new Home Half Moon Flowers and Garden shop that is opening. And then IDES has their whole big shindig at the IDES Hall and in the parking lot. So if ever there was a day to hang out on Main Street and have all of the fun that is to be had in this winter time, it is tonight. There's literally something for everyone.
Yeah. Listeners, be there. Okay, this is the thing to do. It's Friday night. You don't have anything to do tomorrow, hopefully. Come out. Enjoy your community celebration. This sounds like so much fun. And before I get this phone call here, I'm just making a note that, Chamber of Commerce always seems to have the wine booth, like whether it's at Pumpkin Festival or wherever. Like I see what you're doing there.
Well, first of all, thank you, Half Moon Bay Winery, because they donate all of the wine to the chamber. This is one of the very, very few ways that the chamber can do fundraising, because we are not a 501c3. Mm. We do not qualify for 99% of the grants and things like that. Mm. So our three ways of making money are memberships, which are always down and abysmal, sponsorship for events, and selling items. And wine is the thing that comes to us thanks to Half Moon Bay Winery, so we sell it.
Love it. Okay, let's take this phone call here. Who we got on the phone this morning?
Hey, good morning, guys. Jay Michaels. Great show. Just want to let you know that we're actually starting our live broadcast coverage at 4 o'clock. I'll be on from 4 to 7, and our very own Mike Dale will be roaming the streets, talking to all of the people that come and enjoy the parade and have a whole bunch of fun. And for some reason, he too said he was going to be hanging out at the chamber booth for some reason, and now I know why.
Exactly, yes. Well, because Crystal will be there.
No, she won't be there.
Okay. That's great. So 4 to 7 live coverage on your local radio station, KHMB, of the Night of Lights Parade. Thank you, and radio legend Jay Michaels and Mike Dale, for doing that and for providing that for the community. This is what brings us all together. Great news on that.
All right, guys. Have a great show.
And
I look forward to listening to Sam Licato coming in. What were you going to say, Chris?
I was going to say, if you guys need a copy of the float notes, just let me know.
Oh, that would be great. That would be perfect. That would be perfect for Mike Dale, since he'll be roaming around.
You got it.
All right. Thank you, radio legend Jay Michaels. And on that note, our U.S. representative for our district here, California District 16, Sam Licato, has just arrived. Sam, we'll give you a couple of minutes. Thank you. I appreciate it.
And real quick, we'll just wrap up Next of Lights. So Next weekend, thank you so much to the Cantina at San Benito House. They will be hosting our ugly sweater party, and this is the year that we are putting it out there that we want to start moving towards getting the Guinness Book of World Record largest ugly sweater party, because why should that not be here? I'm sorry, Missouri. No.
So, wait, Missouri has the title?
I think so. It was.
Oh, well, we can't let that happen.
We're taking them down.
Exactly. Oh,
there we go. Thank you, Sam. Sam, are you, do you have, so,
yep.
We'll get back. Do you have an ugly sweater? Do you have like a go-to ugly
My
sweater?
My wife alleges I have 37 ugly sweaters.
they're all ugly?
The more important question is if I have a good-looking sweater.
Okay, well, that is a tough one sometimes. Okay.
So, you know, we do not expect to break any records this year. However, we would love it for the community to start showing up and getting those ugly sweaters ready. If you need to buy an ugly sweater, I've heard that they have some fantastic ones at the Double Decker Bus Boutique at Cameron's Pub. They have made a special order of really ugly sweaters, so please go check them out. And then the Friday after that is our annual showing of the movie Elf, which we do right here on Main Street, and also have a spaghetti feed and prizes to people who eat Buddy the Elf's breakfast spaghetti. So, you know, it's a real fun time.
Okay, that's a little weird, but maybe it's from the movie.
Yes, there is a very, very particular breakfast spaghetti that Buddy the Elf enjoys. And quite honestly, I'm just going to put it out there. The 30 to 40-year-old woman of the coastside seems to love it because they are the ones who always win the prizes.
Don't knock it till you try it. Yeah. Very rich in protein.
Okay. Okay.
And chocolate.
Just out of curiosity, I think I asked this before. What is the record number of sweater? What number are we trying to get here? Like
just over 2,500.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 25,000. I'm like,
no,
that's not happening.
We only need 10% of the coastside to show up. But we expect it to take a couple of years because you do have to invite Guinness, and we did not invite Guinness because our current record for our party is about 100.
But we are inviting Taylor Swift, so that's going to be a pretty good crowd.
She got second billing.
Yeah, if you want to see
don't
Taylor.
Don't come for me, Taylor.
I'll be there with Taylor. Yep.
Okay. All right. And that golden voice you heard is the voice of U.S. Representative Sam Liccardo. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning. Good to be with you, Ruben.
Good morning. Congressman Liccardo.
You're supposed to say the most honorable, but Sam will work.
I will go with Congressman Liccardo because we were discussing this earlier. I know you're a very approachable guy, and that's what's really very attractive about you as both a politician, but as a person that I feel genuinely cares. But the title congressperson, or congressman in this case, is a title of respect and appreciation for the job that you're doing. And so I would like to use that, if you don't mind, because
You're kind, Ruben, but as you probably have seen in the latest polls, Congress isn't looking so good.
Okay.
But Sam may actually help me.
We'll go with popularity. Sam. We'll go with Sam. But I'm glad you mentioned that because couple things we want to do with this interview here, and this is your fourth time on the show. We really appreciate the time. Is we wanted to give you a chance to connect with Coastside folks on a personal level, and so just wanted to start with.
Wait, can I ask my question? Because I feel like it's a good starting line.
Oh, yeah, dive in, please.
Okay. Which is going to be.
I don't know the recipe for Buddy the Elf spaghetti.
I do. Don't worry. I got it covered. Does it ever just like stop you in your tracks? Like, you're just going about your day, you're just walking around, and all of a sudden it just hits you that, like, you're a congressperson?
Yeah,
like, that seems like the coolest.
Yeah, you're right. Sometimes it's cool. I was out running along the mall. I'll do that every once in a while, and, you know, to get a break from the action. And there was a big family had just pulled up and got out of their van, and they're staying in front of the Capitol. And you could tell they traveled a long way. And in Spanish, the mom says, Que maravilla. You know, and they're looking at the Capitol. They're just completely in awe. And every once in a while, you do have to think, this is an extraordinary place, right? I mean, this is the place you read about since you were in third grade. And as much as, and we can use a lot of nouns to describe whatever's happening right now in Congress. They would all be appropriate, even if you can't say them on radio. There is still the sense
this is an extraordinary place if we honor it and the country as we should.
Yeah, that's so cool. Because there's times where it hits me where I'm just like, well, I'm like the CEO of the chamber. Like, that's like a weird place to be because it's just so cool. But then to, like, take it 17,000 notches above that just, blows my mind.
Yeah, it is cool sometimes. Like, I'll be, you know, walking on the way to the vote at the Capitol, and you'll see, like, a little plaque where Abraham Lincoln's desk was when he was in the House of Representatives. And, that's pretty cool. I mean, I think the standard has probably dropped a little bit since Abe was there, but it's still cool to be there.
I mean, that... I was looking at the numbers, right, and it's hard to say what area of government is lowest right now, whether it's the executive branch or Congress or...
Congress is usually the lowest, always.
I mean, right now they actually are.
Yeah. And we've earned it.
Well, one of the things I would say was I want to ask people, but okay, well, why are you saying that? Part of the reason that I feel like the numbers are so low, even though if you ask people, well, what's your beef, you know, what's with actually with your congressperson, whatever, the answers are not super specific. But when I was growing up, you would look at people in Congress as the exemplars of our society. You know, these are the moral leaders, these are the behavioral leaders, these are the role models for society. And I just feel that... that's one of the reasons Congress's ratings are so low, is that I'm not seeing that level of example as I used to. Or maybe when I was a kid, I thought of people differently in Congress, but now I see people in Congress behaving in ways that are head-scratching. These are the leaders of our country. And, Sam, and not to just, kiss your face for being here, but I just see you as a throwback to that, as a person that we can follow, as a who's providing leadership not only on the political level, but on the moral and personal level. And I just really appreciate that in a time when I feel like that's something missing from our leadership in this country.
Well, it's kind of you to say that. Thank you, Ruben. Let me just say this. First, I think the fundamental frustration with Congress is that people are suffering enormously, particularly in an affordability crisis where people can't afford to pay their bills and they don't see Congress doing anything or nearly enough about it. And they're right. And the reputation Congress has deserved. You know, on the question of sort of moral issue, look, I just saw a colleague of mine get pardoned by the president 2 days ago, and I still have no idea why, for whatever he was indicted for. There are clearly plenty of examples of moral transgressions. I'm not sure it was always so good in the good old days either. So I'm not certain whether it's better or worse, because I heard plenty of stories from the so-called good old days. What I do know is there are things that we should all be able to agree on, and I'll just bring up this healthcare issue since this seems to be the center of the debate now. You know, we're trying to extend these Affordable Care Act tax credits because 22 million families are going to see their premiums double. We're already seeing them as they're going through open enrollment right now for their health insurance next year. And we know the fact that so many people get pushed out of the insurance market means all of our rates are going to increase an estimated about 5%. As a result of people just getting pushed out, because the people who get pushed out usually are healthier and younger and the folks that would otherwise keep our rates down. So this is bad for all of us. And I have had conversations on the phone or in person with between 3 and 4 dozen Republican colleagues, and they all generally agree with the notion like, hey, if we could afford this, we could do this. So we put a bill together to extend the tax credits for 2 years, you know, and be able to pay for it by going after insurance companies who are basically bilking the hell out of taxpayers on Medicare Advantage, overbilling through a process they called upcoding. So we took some Republican ideas to save some money, go after. We put it together in a bill. We've got 6 Republicans on it, 6 Democrats, because you can't put too many Democrats on it. It'll look like a Democratic bill. So anyway, we put all these folks on the bill. We're ready to march forward. And literally, I'm getting the same response as everybody, which is, oh, we love the bill, but we're scared because if the White House doesn't give the okay, we can't support it. And so people are just in fear. And it is to see that kind of paralysis when people are in such tremendous need in the country. That is what's so demoralizing. And I think the country knows there's an enormous amount of fear, right? Oh, we can't do it because Trump might primary us or, you know, whatever.
You mentioned demoralizing and level of fear, and I don't necessarily want to go there, except, but yes, I have here, and this is not a snarky question. It's a legitimate question.
It's okay, I'll take snarky.
I've
been on here before. I know how you roll.
This is coming from a genuine, like, a constituent that is out here looking towards Congress, wondering, like, uh-oh. And that is, Sam, with executive orders, recess appointments, pardons for felons convicted by juries, withholding of funds appropriated by Congress, unauthorized use of the military, financial self-dealing, use of the Justice Department to settle political and personal scores, blatant ignoring of laws, standards, and rules. Is Congress relevant? I mean, can Congress do any when there's a transient executive department that's saying we're just going to do this? Funds that Congress has appropriated, and that's Congress's role, and saying we're not going to release those funds, where are we?
Yeah, that's a really important question right now. As we think about the founders and their notion of separation of powers, which I think was a pretty good one, it's enshrined in our Constitution. I think we are losing that sense. And I think in many ways, it's not even the loss or the violation of the law that threatens us as much as the loss of norms. That is, norms that sort of govern our everyday behavior that people embrace and we assume are universal, and we have long assumed. And I'll just give you one quick example. You know, I used to be a federal prosecutor, and there was always a very strong norm. The Department of Justice was very independent of the White House, even though, yes, the Attorney General was selected by the President. The President would stay out of the Department of Justice. And there have been plenty of, you know, examples back and forth, but we applauded, you know, leadership of Republicans like Al Chapin Cox, who stood up back in the 1970s and said, no, I'm not going to do what the president wants me to do. You know, when Joe Biden's son gets prosecuted and convicted, as much as, you know, there's a lot of partisan viewpoints on that, the point was the president's son just got convicted by the Department of Justice overseas. That is evidence of some separation, independence. That's what we want. That independence is totally lost now. Everybody, I've got colleagues who are being prosecuted by this Department of Justice wholly for political reasons, and the only motivation anyone can look to is the guy in the White House wants him prosecuted. That is really dangerous. And so, Ruben, you're right about all that. There's a real concern about the relevance of Congress, but I'm really concerned about this notion of separation of powers more generally, because what we're seeing at the Supreme Court level and in Congress is a real capitulation. Ultimately, and this is going to come down to public sentiment. You know, are people ultimately, through their votes and through their actions, going to push back and say we want our constitutional governance back?
And if I could just add to that, in a kind of bringing it a little bit local view, I think part of the reason why now, I think there's certain parts of the government that can be retooled and some things are a little bit outdated and whatnot, but ultimately I think Congress and the different aspects are still relevant, because even like I've just been having a crisis of conscience recently of like, if I can't make things better for our co-side and our town, well, at what point do I throw my hands up and give up? Like if nobody's going to listen to me, well, maybe I'm just going to pick up my toys and go home. But then after some reflection, I go, but no, somebody needs to be the one to shine the light and be in the right places at the right time to stand up for what is wrong and say, hey, this thing is happening over here, and I am getting the holy bejesus kicked out of me over here, but I am going to stand up and I'm going to keep going, and I think that's why Congress is still important.
Kristen, I really appreciate that. I think what we're seeing more and more is this leadership in local communities, like you described, and we see it here in the Coast Side. We've got great nonprofits like the one you're leading, like Alice, like Puente and others that are standing up at a really difficult time for the immigrant communities they're serving, for the larger community, and finding ways to pull together. And it just goes back to what, you know, Obama said back in, was it 2015, about the most powerful word in the English language in democracy is we. It's we the people. We shall overcome. Yes, we can. We is critical right now. And what we saw in elections a few weeks ago was a reflection that we are pretty ticked off. And we want a government that is governed by the rule of law and constitutional norms and obviously respectful of the will of the people. I think we are going to see more of that next year. I am hopeful as we start to see, you know, we're starting to see the veneer crack a little bit on the other side of the aisle in Congress. You know, colleagues of mine like Marjorie Taylor Greene have become more outspoken, although she just stepped down. We're hearing a lot more, particularly from women in the Republican Party. I may not agree with them on all the issues, but I am applauding their courage in standing up and saying, well, we're going the wrong direction. Someone needs to stand up. So I will continue. I actually, on X, which I post on, I always have a Courageous Conservative award that I give out every week, and so I've been identifying those folks that we should applaud who are, you know, they may not agree with me on lots of issues, but they're standing up, and we need more of that.
Okay, we got to take a commercial break. Don't go away, because when we come back, we'll have more with U.S. Representative Sam Liccardo.
This is Community Radio for the Coast Side.
100.9 KHMB.
Coastal Windage is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Pub in Half Moon Bay. Come for the food, stay for the fun. That's Cameron's Restaurant and Pub on Highway 1 in Half Moon Bay.
Hi, this is Jay Michaels. Make sure to join me and Stan Warren Luttrell coming up at 10 o'clock right after Coastal Windage. We'll have a look at today in history, plus we'll get to a brand new forgotten find. It all happens at 10 a.m. right here from 100.9 FM KHMB.
Okay, and we're back. Ruben here with Crystalline and U.S. Representative Sam Liccardo. Sam, before we went to the break, you were mentioning we, and I just, that really, like, struck a note with me because, yes, you know what? Again, as just a normal person out here in the world, that's something that I'm thirsting for our country right now, which is us, you know, e pluribus unum, you know, together, like, that is what I love about this country. And so, yes, everybody's got a different viewpoint, but at the end of the day, we come together as Americans. And so let's transition into the just amazing flurry of activity that has marked your first 12 months here in office. I'm on your newsletter, and I'd see, like, every week there's a couple of different things that you're doing. Let me just ask on a personal level, how are you holding up under this amount of work? Because I don't think people understand the schedule that you have.
Well, I mean, I'm doing fine. I'm more concerned about the rest of our country right now. But, yeah, I flew in last night at SFO at 11. I do that. I fly in and out a couple times a week. By the way, I got to give kudos to my predecessor, NSU. I'm 55. You know, she did this till she was 81 and always had an enormous amount of energy and was incredibly able. I kudos to her for being able to handle, you know, three time zones and 5 hours of flights a couple times a week, and doing the amazing job she did. Anyway, I'm doing fine. As you know, Speaker Johnson really made mine a part-time job. We were out of session for about 43 days, which I think is absurd. We should be there every day, whether we have a shutdown or not. We're working hard primarily in the committee I'm on, which is called Financial Services, one of the more collaborative committees in Congress, where I think there is actually Republican leadership that is interested in working across the aisle. And so I'm taking advantage of that. I got five housing bills working on trying to accelerate the construction of affordable housing and find new ways of financing affordable housing, and we've got Republican co-sponsors in every one of those bills. So I think there is some hope. Like, you know, there are folks who are genuinely trying to get stuff done. We'll see that housing bill come to the floor in the next 3 or 4 weeks. There's a, an omnibus bill that's going to have a couple of my bills in it. And so we'll be able to do something, for example, on housing. I think we got to keep looking for those opportunities where there's enough overlap and common ground where Republicans and Democrats should be able to agree on getting something done.
Yeah, I mean, I've been reading the press releases and the bills that you've been sponsoring and presenting, and one thing that sticks out is the obvious effort to get bipartisan support for these things, because I think that is something that would bring people back to favoring Congress. Like, I think it's the division in Congress that just makes people just go, you know what, I'm walking away from this. And if we see the more genuine bipartisan effort, I think people will start to come back to Congress.
Yeah, I think you're right. Look, I think we can do two things at once. I can certainly be outspoken about the outrages of whatever the administration's doing if I believe it's unconstitutional or cruel. And there have been plenty of those examples that I've been outspoken about. At the same time, people need to see the government work. And, you know, in the last week, I've been on both CNN and Fox, accompanied by Republican colleague Kevin Kiley, who we've been working together on this health care proposal, trying to persuade other colleagues, particularly on the Republican side, to get on board. And I think there is a real hunger for that. People are tired of the yelling. And as much as we demonize the other side ideologically or for partisan reasons, whatever, I think there is a real yearning for us to say, look, we are Americans. We've got some problems in common. Let's tackle them together.
I mean, that's, I think, music to America's ears right now to hear a sentiment like that. I know that you got a lot of threads that are pulling at you right now, but I've read that you're focused on bringing folks together to talk about priorities on the coast side. Can you tell us anything about those efforts and you know, how Coastsiders can connect to you and what you're thinking about in terms of the coast side?
Yeah, we have a lot of infrastructure-related challenges on the coast side. I don't need to tell any of the listeners, but it's, you know, it's roads, it's power, it's cellular
internet.
Service, yeah, internet. I mean, it's right. We've got a sewer. We've got, you know, sea level rise, all kinds of issues to deal with, all of them relating one way or another to infrastructure. That's where federal government can play a role, not in all those projects, but in some of them where either there's federal funding or federal permitting or if nothing else, where we can be a convener. And this is where Ray Mueller, the supervisor here, has done a great job in trying to get the county together, start to prioritize projects in a way so we can start to march together. So we're going to basically leverage his good work or the county's good work in starting this effort, maybe broaden it a little bit to include not just county assets, but also things like power, since that's, you know, PG&E's domain and others, and see if we can start to push together all the local stakeholders and federal as well, and start to at least accelerate, you know, the environmental reviews, the permitting, and where we can start to identify funding so folks can accelerate, you know, rebuilding, new construction, et cetera. Now, this is challenging in this environment. For example, we just lost a $50 million grant up in Pacifica to address coastal erosion up there because of this administration's elimination of a whole funding program to address resilience. And you wouldn't think resilience would be a partisan word, but apparently it is right now in D.C. So we've got to find other ways, and it may not be with a lot of federal money, at least at the outset. And we may change that if Congress changes hands in 2027. But in the meantime, we can certainly make sure that we are first in line when that money is available at some point in the future. The way to be first in line is to make sure the community is united. Make sure you got all your permits. Make sure everybody's pushing together.
And it also helps to have representatives who are on top of it and eager and engaged. And you mentioned Ray Mueller. I just feel fortunate as a constituent in this community to have you and Ray representing us. I think that sets us up well and makes me feel confident that that things will happen here, or at least be looked at.
Yeah, really, kudos to Ray, because he got out in front of this, and this, you know, he's definitely a workhorse, not a show horse. He's very deeply engaged in the details and a great partner.
Okay, we've got about 5 minutes left. I really appreciate your time. So let's dive into something that I know that is important to you and that people will... all the interns are laughing already because I already told them. Okay, so, well, one, there's committees, there's subcommittees, there's caucuses, there's working groups. Man, oh, my goodness, you're on so many things. Okay, but you are a member of the subcommittee on digital assets, financial technology, and artificial intelligence. Now, I've had the intern, I've had the interns pore over the new Democratic Innovation Agenda and kind of Gemini it back to me, right? Give me the.
Yeah, you fall asleep if you read the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I did glance over it, but again, I had the intern summarize it for me. But here's the thing. My takeaway on that: the markets are booming.
Yeah.
Tech companies are making more money than ever, and yet it feels like when I read the innovation agenda, yes, there was some discussion of protecting data and stuff, but it really seemed like there was protections for companies and their products. You know, we got to make sure there's money for innovation. We got to, make sure regulation isn't too tight. But Sam, the question I ask is, with the industries doing so well and the companies doing so well, it just billionaires just popping up overnight, is it industry and businesses need protection? And if so, from what? Or is it the people who need protection from the businesses and their products like AI? I mean, this AI is about to get out of control.
Yeah, let me clarify one thing. First, I do not believe there should be a single dollar of public money invested in AI. There's plenty of private money being invested. And I don't agree that the president's ideas of taking public stakes in companies like Intel, I think that's absurd. I don't believe in some of these deals that the federal government is getting engaged in around the construction data centers and, God forbid, places around the world. So first, we should not be involved in sort of this mercantilist adventure as a federal government, particularly taxpayer money. Secondly, there's no question that AI is critically important technology that's going to be infrastructure for the future, and there's going to be an enormous number of other technology industries that will be built on it and through it. We need to win the battle, the global battle with China. We need to do so in a way that's consistent with our values. If China wins, and by winning I mean if Huawei becomes the company that designs all the chips, that provides the software stack, etc., A, we will be much less safe, and B, the rules will be set by China, and I can assure you that we are not going to appreciate those rules in terms of our own values, democratic values. So look, I think we can do two things. This is difficult, but when we talk about what we need on AI, the notion is, first, let's make sure we know what government can do and can't do. Government is not going to be good at regulating the algorithms, assessing the weights of the models, et cetera. This is not where government's going to be good. Government should be focused on what are the effects, what are the impacts. Let's focus on the harmful impacts and make sure we're regulating AI just as we would any other technology, any other tool, and focus on those outcomes. What I'm concerned about is, and I think a lot of folks in the industry are reasonably concerned about, is that there's this huge push now to have government involved in telling, whether it's large language models or other folks in the space developing AI for other applications, that government should be telling folks how to design the software. We're not good at that. We're not going to get it right. And even if we got it right one day, it'll change 5 days later. So what we need to do is to understand where government can be effective. We know there's a lot of fraud with AI now, and it's going to get worse. Let's focus on updating our statutes to address fraud and where AI is used. Let's make sure we're going after the effects of, for example, we can use watermarking and other technologies, but for the most part, we really need to be focused on the effects and the outcomes. And that will enable industry to catch up. What we need to do, most importantly, is set a high bar of what we think the industry best practices are with existing technology for how we protect data privacy and security and all the other things that we think are important to protect in our community, and let companies reach up to that standard. If they do, then they should be able to avail themselves of what we call at the federal level preemption, which means you're not going to have companies navigate a thicket of 50 different states' laws and rules to figure out what's legal. That is going to be a problem for any industry, and that is not going to help us win a battle with China. What we need to do is set federal standards that are sufficiently high that everybody reaches toward, and then everybody agrees that is the standard. And just because Minnesota came up with a better idea next month doesn't mean everyone's now got to go hire a bunch of new lawyers to figure out what Minnesota's rule is. That's really what we mean about providing a basic avenue for this technology to flourish. It's not about letting AI companies have free reign, because Lord knows they're doing just fine on their own.
Okay, and my interns have prepared like 50 pages of notes and questions, but...
Yeah, you worked them a little too hard. I hope you're paying them.
Yeah.
In M&Ms.
Yeah. Sure we are, right?
I'm not sure that actually complies with the labor standards.
Labor standards, federal...
Definitely not in California.
Okay, let's not look too closely here. Okay. But, unfortunately, you're on to the next thing. Anything you want to tell folks? We really appreciate you being here, and I know you got to run. Anything you want to let people know? Are you doing any events local or anything that we should be looking out for with regard to Sam Liccardo?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'll be back around plenty. Yeah, we just had a couple town halls here in the last few months, and so we'll keep doing that. I guess more than anything, just I am incredibly proud to represent this community. This is an amazing Coastside community. You know, when Coastside Cares last year announced, you know, it was some amazing percentage, something like 40% of the community had contributed in some way to help this enormous effort to try to help support nonprofits in the community. That says so much about the Coastside and the culture that is created here. And so I'm just very proud to represent the community. And you'll see when you come into my office in Washington, D.C., we got all kinds of great photos of all the great happenings in Coastside in particular, because it just happens to be the most beautiful place in California.
Well, Sam Liccardo, thank you. We really cannot express enough our appreciation for the attention that you give the Coastside and for coming here and being on the show and talking to your constituents directly. There's lots of people listening, and I know they appreciate the time that you've given us this morning. Thank you so
great
much.
Great being with you, Ruben.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Take care of yourself.
And Francesca, thank you as well. Appreciate it. That's Congressman Liccardo's aide who's with him here today. Thank you so much. Okay. We still have more show to go. Well, I just feel like how can we go on from there? All right. Let's see if we dead deer on El Granada Boulevard.
Stop
no. I think we'll skip that
skip.
One. Oh,
please.
Here's one. Love this one. Tales of joy for dynamic duo dog rescue. I mean, dogs, wine, live music. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Am I right? Okay. So Dynamic Duo is a registered 501c3 nonprofit, right? That's the designation for a nonprofit.
For charity.
They're volunteer-based dog rescue organization based out of Moss Beach. They're throwing a party.
Love it.
Well, I wish I could take credit for that, but I didn't. That's Tess Wigington, I think, took credit for that or did that. She's not even taking credit. She just did it. I'm giving her credit. At the Coastal Vine in Moss Beach. They're having a fundraiser there. Coastal Vine in Moss Beach tomorrow. It's called the Tales of Joy Fundraiser. They're raising money to help fund medical care, training, supplies, transport, and emergency rescues. This is a fundraiser. So tickets are $30 at the door. It includes a glass of wine, light bites, live music, and a snuggle from a puppy.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that's worth $30 right there, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
100%.
There's also a silent auction, a kissing photo booth, and a raffle. This is tomorrow from noon to 4 at the Coastal Vine, 2305 Carlo Street in Moss Beach. If you haven't been there, they've been around, I'm going to say, 10 to 15 years now.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hop and joy.
Yes.
You want to check that place out, whether you're going there for the Tales of Joy fundraiser or just
for
a...
They have so many good events.
Exactly. So you're going to want to check that out. Note. Hold on. Serious voice. Please note, there is a dress code here. So, and that dress code, festive and fun. So don't be the person that violates this dress code. Just in case you do come in like some kind of suit or some, you know, non-festive and fun, funny nose and glasses or rainbow suspenders will be provided to those who don't come dressed festively or funly, okay?
This is an event geared towards my heart, 100%. I mean,
totally.
Wow.
Yes. I mean, a tutu would look great there.
Which I am, yes.
I know.
Everybody, I'm currently in a lighted tutu. Two tutus, actually. Today I'm representing, as a part of the lighted parade, the Griswold Illumination Company.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
A public utilities best friend. Okay, we got a phone call. Who's on the phone with us this morning?
This is Xenia. I am the executive director of Dynamic Duo Dog Rescue, who you're talking about right now online.
Oh, yes, and you've got a big event scheduled for tomorrow at the Coastal Vine.
Yes. I do.
You are live on the radio going out. You just followed U.S. Representative Sam Liccardo. You're on right after him. Yes, we've got many people listening.
So this is our first fundraiser ever. We're very excited. We've had a lot of dogs and a few cats adopted on the coast. We are a coastside rescue, so we're super local. And we're looking to raise money mostly for veterinarian care, which is what all the rescues pour most of their money into. Things come up, emergencies, and we really just want to save as many animals and dogs as we can. They're kind of they're voiceless, and we want to be their voices. So everybody loves dogs. Everybody loves animals. So this is a really great opportunity to come in and support that.
And can I just say, as somebody who does a lot of fundraisers, the fact that this is your first fundraiser and you have knocked it out of the park with all of the fun aspects, I mean, kudos.
Thank you. Yeah, we're really excited about our kissing booth. We had a bunch of small kids decorate it, and we're going to have a live marshmallow to take pictures with. He's really not a marshmallow, but he looks like a marshmallow because he's a baby Great Pyrenees.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's going to be the cutest thing ever. So if any of you have time, drop by.
Absolutely. I've already melted into my chair.
I know, like baby Pyrenees. Okay.
There'll be Chorkies. We're going to have a couple Chorkies there. Do you know what a Chorkie is?
I'm guessing part Yorkie, but Chow Yorkie?
Chihuahua Yorkie. So
oh,
it's like
my.
A mini Yorkie. They're ridiculously cute. They're pocket size.
Oh,
the smallest one's like 4 pounds. And they're the sweetest little dogs.
I guess the question I have for you is, how are you going to limit this to 4 hours? Because this sounds like so much fun. I feel like at 4 o'clock you're going to be like kicking people. Okay, we got to go. We only said it was going till 4.
I know. It's going to be amazing. There's going to be a lot to do. The music is going to be fantastic. There's going to be a few of the band members from a band called Locura. It's just, yeah, I'm very excited about this, and I'm hoping that it's going to be super successful. I think it will be. There'll be lots of food, lots of wine. I mean, yeah, we can hang out later if we want to. Jeez, they don't have to kick us out.
Well, you know what? We might need to have you on the show as a special interview guest to learn more about this. I just want to tell people about
them. I think you should.
Let's do it, okay? We'll be in touch, and we'll have you on the show because, again, who doesn't love animals? And let me just let people know what the mission of Dynamic Duo Dog Rescue is. To rescue...
Please.
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh. The mission is to rescue homeless, abandoned, and neglected dogs, cats, and species of all kinds, providing them with compassionate foster care, essential veterinary treatment, and socialization. And through the dedication of your volunteers, you nurture each animal with the goal of placing them in safe, loving, and permanent homes where they can truly thrive. Who could argue with that? Isn't that what we want about every person in our life and every animal?
Thing.
Yeah, every living thing.
Yep.
Thank you. Yes.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, beautiful.
Well, thank you so much for the call in. Good luck tomorrow, and we'll be in touch to have you on the show. Yeah.
Yes. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, tomorrow, noon to 4, Coastal Vine in Moss Beach, Dynamic Duo Dog Rescue is having their Tales of Joy fundraiser. Okay. Based off of that note, we're still going to skip the dead deer. That's just a sad story. But I do want to mention, bring this up. So, because it's been so wonderful this last week on the coast side. We've got the yellow field of flowers, or the field of yellow flowers at the corner of Main Street and Highway 1 that is just popping right now, right? It is just,
a field of yellow flowers across the McDonald's there. We've got had this week, we've had the brilliant purple-orange sunsets that usually mark our fall, or which I call our summer.
Yeah.
The purple and orange is just amazing. With the full moon, we've had some amazing night skies this week. And these are some of the things that make the coastside the special place that it is, right? Dark skies, ocean vistas, rustic trails, wild animals, open spaces. But if I could just... We need, like, some mood music. Doo-doo-doo. If I could just bring this down a moment. But okay, these are the wonderful things that have attracted us to the coastside, that attract visitors to the coastside. But... Dot, dot, dot. At what point does the things that attract us and make the coastside wonderful, so wonderful, end up being the thing that takes things too far? So everybody wants to be here. Everybody wants to enjoy this beauty. But is that doable with density rezonings? Currently, there's on the table hundreds of additional residential units, not only here on the coastside, on the mid-coast. Pacifica has thousands of new units on the table. New hotels being planned along the strip between Highway 1 and the harbor, the narrow strip there. I have this nasty vision of it looking like the strip in Pensacola, Florida, which is a strip of sand with all these hotels. You can't even, from the mainland, you can't even see the ocean. Parking lots that aren't needed and can't be quantitatively justified. Excessive street and building lighting like the new fire station El Granada and Seton Coastside Medical Center. Wide graded roads you could drive a city bus down instead of rural trails or little roads. Like has been done in Wavecrest. I'm sorry. I know that the intentions are good, but what has happened out at Wavecrest for me as a person that enjoyed riding my bike and walking on trails that are not widely graded and you could drive a city bus down, it's an abomination out there. Everything, all the little single track has been disced, and there's just big, wide gravel roads. That's not, that takes away some of the character, in my opinion. Or what's been done on North Peak Utility Road on Matera Mountain, which has been graded just 30 feet across. For what? Okay? This is the question. This is the fundamental question.
Mm-hmm.
At what point does the special character of this place become vestigial, meaning just a leftover remnant of what it was? Like Hawaii, is our biggest crop not going to be artichokes or Brussels sprouts or flowers? It's going to be real estate? Will farming become a quaint memory that is kept alive by relics of farm work and farm life displayed in local businesses as decor?
I think this is where the people of the coastside play a very important part, because in every project that you mentioned and every project that I know is coming up, like there will be a forthcoming 55-unit project for a lot near Poplar is going to be coming to the docket soon. This is where people coming out and voicing their thoughts and feelings and opinions on these different projects is really, really important. Because every project that you mentioned, to my knowledge, started off much larger than they ended up. And that is only because people had their concerns, people let those in places of power know that they didn't want to lose the charm and they didn't want to not see the beach from the road and whatever. So for better or for worse, depending on the project, community input plays a part. And we kind of go through these times of lull where the community kind of gets busy in their own life and they kind of stop paying attention, and then on some things it becomes a little bit too late for them to put their input in timely enough that it can make effective change. So I just really would hope that the community stays involved, pay attention to the agendas of the different, especially planning commissions, because that's where most all of this stuff starts, and make it known what you want this coastside and downtowns and the different areas. The community has a vision for what they want those to look like, but if they're not vocal about what that vision is, then people from the outside who do not share that vision are not going to adhere to it.
Thank you, Crystalyn. Yes, get involved. Go to those community meetings. Speak your piece. You know, a great way to get informed so that you can know when the meetings are and know what the issues are, CoastsideBuzz.com.
Mm-hmm, 100%.
Okay, that's where you get the source documents and video. Okay, one quick email on our way out the door here from Maggie Montera. That's the listener. Coastside Country kicks. This is from Maggie Montera. Note to Jim Henderson. Get a webcam in that Coastal Windage studio. I would have paid money to see Carol and Hillary from Coastside Country try to show Ruben and Frank the Engineer the grapevine. In fact, that would be an amazing silent auction item for some local nonprofit's fundraiser. No. Well, a personal lesson from Coastside Country, yes. That should be on every nonprofit's.
Webcam, no, because you'll just see me in my pajamas.
Webcam, no. There's some things that the magic of radio, right?
Yes.
We live in that zone.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you to Sam Licardo, Representative Sam Licardo, for giving us his time today and letting us know what's going on in Washington. Crystalyn, great to see you. I will see you tonight at the Night of Lights Parade. And don't forget tomorrow at the Coastal Vine, the Tales of Joy fundraiser for Dynamic Duo Dog Rescue. Okay, until next week, or tonight, if you see us tonight, come by and say hi. All right, this has been Coastal Windage,
the talk of the coast.